We're holding on Chaf Gimel Amud Beis, second line from the bottom. We learned in the Mishnah. so we learned at the beginning of the Perek that there are various kinds of Nedarim that are not actually Chal, because even though the person said the formula of a Neder, he didn't sincerely intend for it to be a Neder. The first one of them, we said was Nidre Zeruzin, where a person makes a neder just to encourage the other person to do things his way, but not that he actually intended for the neder to be chal. The example we gave in the first Mishnah was that people are bargaining over an item. One says, I won't sell it for less than four dinarim. The other one says, I won't buy it for more than two. We say that all along they were willing to compromise on three, therefore their nedarim were not really a sincere neder. In our Mishnah, Rebbe Elazar and Yaakov had continued. He said, asked also, here's another example, somebody who wants to make a neder to force his friend to eat by him. So he says, Reuven says to Shimon, if you don't come and eat with me, then you will be usher to have hanah from my nechassim. So then we said, Rebbe Elazar and Yaakov says that is also considered nidre zeruzin. So now the question is, do the other Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov or not? Is it that we're saying it in Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's name and it means he's the one who happens to have said this, but everybody would agree with him? Or would it be that there's an actual machlokes over here? And the reason might be that Ran says, because it's one thing when it comes to bargaining over items, then yes, it's normal that people will use a neder like that. Therefore, we say they didn't really mean it as a neder, but maybe to say that somebody else should come and eat by him, maybe he is saying it bedafka. Maybe it's not just a neder as a bargaining chip, but maybe he actually sincerely meant it. So that's the first question. And if you're going to say that they do argue, then the question is, is the halacha like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov or not? Now, the Rosh points out that in general, we say the Mishnas Rabbi Elazar Kav V'Naki. We usually say that the teachings of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov are Kav. They're very few because you don't have very many of them, relatively speaking, in Shas. Compared to his colleagues, compared to the other Chachamim of his times, the other Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yossi, you find them much more often. So he's there, for him, you have much less. But V'Naki, what he says is clean in the sense that the halacha is always like him. Nevertheless, the fact is, there are places where the halacha is not like him. In particular, the Rosh says over here. Here, the Chachamim is reason. If we say the Chachamim are arguing with him, there's a very logical reason to say that they would. Namely, what we just said, that only when it comes to bargaining over items would people make a neder like that and not mean it sincerely, just as a bargaining chip. Whereas when it comes to inviting somebody else, not. So maybe we would have reason, if we say the Chachamim disagree with him, to say the halacha is not like them. The Rosh himself also gives a different answer in his psukim on this, and in his psukim elsewhere in Shas. He says that where there's an idea that the Rishonim say that when we say that his teachings are kav v'naki, the word kav is gematria 102, and it symbolizes that there are 102 places where the halacha is like him. Well, this halacha may not be one of those 102. Anyway, that's the question. So we have to figure out first whether Chachamim disagree with him, and that's going to consume the whole Amud, the whole Chaf Dalet Amud Aleph over here. We're going to be going through that and trying to figure that out. So Toshma, let's try to prove the Tanan. We learn in a Mishnah, good morning. We learn in a Mishnah later in our Masechta, Ha'oimel HaChaveroi, Koinam She'eni Nanaloch, or Shani Nanaloch, really, the Ran says, a koinam on what I would have hanah from you, im iat noita levincha, if you don't take from my things on behalf of your son, kur shochitin shtei chavias shoyayin, a kur of wheat and two barrels of wine, which is a large amount. So in other words, Reuven is saying to Shimon, I insist that you take this wheat and this wine for your son. And if you don't want to take that, then I make the koinam that I will not be allowed to have hanah from you. So the Mishnah says later, further down on the Amud, in a in 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 connection with this, and you have an opposite kind of case where we're going to say soon, then the Ran mentions that there's Gemara in Gittin that says that that draws a distinction whether the child in question is samuch al shulchanei, whether he's actually still eating by his father's table and relying on him for support or not. Because then whether we can say that he's allowed to, we can say that he's able to forego the gift and not have the neder take effect is going to depend on that. So we'll get into that point later. Anyway, so Reuven says to Shimon, I insist that you take this quart of wheat and these two barrels of wine for your son. And if you don't, then I am going to make a neder that you will be also to have hana from my nechassim. So the Mishnah continues, this person, Reuven, is able to be matir his neder without even a chacham. In other words, this is like the four nedarim that we're saying at the beginning of our parak. It's not really considered a neder in the first place because it has a built-in Pesach. Now, we talked to the other day, you have to have a Pesach or Charata to be matir a neder. Here, the Pesach is so strong that it's not really considered, the Rosh says this is considered such a strong Pesach, as we're going to say in a second, that it's considered that it wasn't a neder in the first place. Because Shimon can tell him, what's the whole reason why he said Chavdal and Aleph? The whole reason why you said that you want to give me this, that you want to give me this wheat and this wine is for my covered, that you want to honor me with your gift. Zehu kvodi, you should know this actually is my covered. This is actually my covered when I turn down the gifts. So why is that? How would that be his covered? So the Ram says because people will see. After all, people see that I'm important to you. You want to give me a present. There'll be a bigger honor when people see that you want to give and I don't even want to receive it. So that'll be a bigger covered. The Rosh mentions also the point over here, the you have a pasuk that says Soina Matonas Yichya, a person who hates gifts, will live. So he says, look, you know, now I'll have more of a reputation as a Soina Matonas, as somebody who doesn't like taking gifts, and therefore, that'll be my greater covet. So now the Gemara says, "Taima de Amar Zehu Kroidi." Now, why are we saying that Shimon is able to be matter? That why are we saying that the neder is not chal? Because Shimon is able to say to Reuven, "Zehu Kroidi." It's more of a covet to me to not accept this gift. Implying that if he didn't say that neder, then it would be a valid neder. And in fact, if Shimon does not give that answer, if Shimon doesn't accept the wheat and the wine for some other reason, then it sounds like the neder would be effective. So now money. So now we have to ask who would that Mishnah later on the Masechta, who would that be like? Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. If you're going to say it's like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, why would it be a neder? Nidrei Zeruzin havi. According to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov in our Mishnah, that would be an example of Nidrei Zeruzin. The same way as in our Mishnah, Rav Elazar says that if Reuven wants to invite Shimon to eat by him, and he says, Shimon, if you don't come and eat by me, then you're going to be under a neder from my nechassim. And we say that Rav Elazar ben Yaakov doesn't consider that a real neder because it's only nidrei zeruzin. Well, the same thing if Reuven is saying to Shimon, if you don't take this wheat and this wine, then you're going to be under a neder from me. So it can't be according to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov on the face of it. Ella shmamina pligi rabbanan alei. Doesn't that show that the chachamim disagree with it? Hagoyes Habach actually adds the words ella lav rabbanan. Wouldn't you have to say that that Mishnah is specifically according to the chachamim? Ushmamina pligi rabbanan alei, and that would show that the chachamim disagree with Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. So you would have in our Mishnah, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov calls such a thing nidrei zeruzin. Later in the Masechta, you're going to have that the chachamim consider a very similar case involving a gift to not be nidrei zeruzin, but rather in principle it would be a full-fledged neder, except for the fact that he has the ability to say zehu kvodi, my greater honor. You're showing that I'll have greater honor from not accepting your gift than from accepting the gift. So only because of that is the neder bottle. So that shows that the chachamim disagree with Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. They would say that in a case like our Mishnah, where you don't have that consideration, then in fact it would be a valid neder. So the Gemara says, "Lo." The Gemara says, "Lo olam Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov." He not necessarily. You could say that that later Mishnah goes like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, meaning not exclusively like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, but also like him, because right now we're trying to say that maybe the Chachamim don't disagree with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov at all. So we could say that that later Mishnah goes like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov of our Mishnah, and that maybe the Chachamim do not disagree with that, because you could say, "Umoyder Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov behind the Nidra Habi." Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov might agree when it comes to that case of the quart of wheat and the two barrels of wine, the Nidra Havi, where Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov would agree that unless he says that unless he says Zo Kvoidi, unless he says this is my covenant to not accept the gift, it could be considered a neder. De Omale, because after all, Shimon can say Loi Kalbano. After all, Shimon can say when Shimon says Zehu Kvoidi, it doesn't just mean that. What it means is, in effect, he's saying, "Look, I'm not like a dog where you give him and he doesn't give anything back to you." That I'm having hanah from you and you're not having hanah from me. So in other words, he's saying that. What are we saying over here? Reuven was saying to Shimon, "I want you to accept this gift, and if not, then you're also to have hanah from me." Because so the point is that Reuven can say, "You know what? I insist that you accept this gift. Otherwise, it's not right. Otherwise, it's not right. You're giving me so much, because why would I be giving you this big gift if I didn't owe you one for previous favors that you did me?" And I'm not having on the contrary, you're giving me so much. I want to give you something. I don't want to be like a dog. So therefore, you could say that that's a stronger reason. In our Mishnah, when Reuven is inviting Shimon for a meal, that's not necessarily such a big thing. We can say it's not really considered a neder. It's only nidre zeruzin. But to offer him such a big gift. So actually, Ran brings two explanations. The first explanation is that what are we saying over here? What's happening is that he's saying, "I don't want to have any more." Reuven is saying, "Koinam she'eni nana loch," that a koinam on what I would have hanah from you. So it's not that he's saying that my nechosim should be also to you, Shimon. On the contrary, he's saying your nechosim, Shimon, will be also to me if you don't accept this gift. So the first explanation of the Ran is that the difference is in our Mishnah, the expression was that he says, he's saying, "My nechosim will be also to you if you don't come and eat by me." So in other words, Reuven is saying to Shimon, "I want you to eat by me. And if not, then you're going to be also in my nechosim." Here it's the other way around. Here Reuven is saying, "I will be also in your nechosim if you don't accept this gift." Meaning, therefore, we have what we're saying in the Gemara over here, that he can say, "Listen, if you don't accept this gift, then I feel like I'm being a dog. I'm accepting so much from you, and you're not, I'm accepting so much from you. You've done me favors up until now. You've allowed me to have enough from your nechosim, and you're not allowing me to give you anything. So if you don't allow me to give you something, then that's it. I'm swearing off your nechosim." So therefore, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov can consider that a valid neder more than in our Mishnah, where we're saying, it's the other way around, where Reuven is saying, "Shimon, if you don't come eat by me, then my nechosim are also to you." Then you can't say that he's saying that if you don't accept my invitation, then I feel like a dog.
What's the characteristic of a dog?
a dog takes and doesn't give. Excuse me. A dog? No, perhaps just even a domestic dog. I mean, it does something, but not necessarily. Well, maybe, I don't know. But the point is that a dog is. I don't know. It's a good question why the Gemara is using a dog as a symbol of this. But the point is that you sometimes find you give a dog something and then he doesn't really reciprocate. Sometimes you have, of course, there are very loyal dogs out there, but not always, I guess. Anyway, the point is. Again, in our Mishnah, Reuven is saying to Shimon that I want to give you something, and namely, I want to invite you to a meal, and if you don't accept it, then my nechosim will be also to you. So that we can say is only nidre zirusin, because who would say such a thing seriously? Here in the Mishnah that we're quoting from later in the Masechta, we can argue it's the other way around. He's saying, if you don't accept this gift, your nechasim will be also to me. That could be a stronger neder, and even Rabbi Elazar and Yaakov might agree that such a thing is an actual neder, not just nidre zirusin. That's Iran's first explanation. Then the second explanation is that here we're talking about it's a large gift. Now, why would he be giving him such a large gift? Must be because the other person must have previously done a tremendous favor for him. So now, when it comes to inviting somebody for a meal, people invite somebody else for a meal all the time, just because they're acquaintances, not because they're really good friends. But to give somebody a quart of wheat and 2 barrels of wine, like we're saying later in the Mishnah, that you would do only if the person had done you a tremendous favor. So therefore, there's much more of a reason for him for us to say that that should be considered a sincere neder. That he should mean that if you don't accept this gift, then it shows that our relationship is only one-sided, and I don't want to accept any further favors from you as long as you don't want to do that. So now we say later in the Mishnah that Shimon could say, you know what, it's my greater covered is not to, thank you very much, but my greater covered is not to accept the gift. Only because of that is it not a valid neder. But if he doesn't say that, then yes, even Rabbi Elazar and Yaakov might agree that that is a valid neder. So therefore, there's no proof from that Mishnah one way or the other, whether the Chachamim agree or whether the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov or not. Maybe they agree with him and that Mishnah is according to everybody, or maybe not, and that Mishnah is only according to the Chachamim. Okay, the Gemara says, Toshma, let's try to bring another proof. That same Mishnah continues, Ha'oim al-Chaver koinam sha'ata nenesli, the other way around, here it's the opposite. Reuven says to Shimon, a koinam, that you will be also to have hanah from me in the future, im i'at anoysin livni kur shochitin u'shtei chaviz shoyayin, if you don't give my son a quart of wheat and 2 barrels of wine. So here it's the other way around. Before it was Reuven was offering the gift to Shimon and saying, Shimon, if you don't accept that gift, then from now on, I don't want to have any hanah from you, because then I feel like I'm taking too much from you and not giving anything. Here it's the other way around. He says to Shimon, you've been taking a lot from me and you haven't been giving me anything. So now I'm going to make this neder unless you give my son these items. So now the Mishnah says, Rav Meir Omer, Rav Meir Oyser, rather, Rav Meir says that he, Rav Meir Omer, Ad Shiyitin, Rav Meir says that it would be Rav Meir Omer, Hagoyes Habach, add the word Oser, that he says, in fact, he would be Oser until he actually gives it. In other words, Rav Meir considers that a full-fledged neder, not just Nidre Zirozin. No, in that case also, he can be matir as neder even without a chacham, because again, the neder has a very strong built-in pesach to it. Because eventually, Reuven can say, you know what? I'm willing to consider it as though I actually accepted that, as though I actually received that weed and that wine. The Ran brings actually from the Yerushalmi that Reb Meir would actually argue in both cases. We had the first case where Reb Meir doesn't say anything. It was a Stam Mishnah. Then we have the second case over here where Reb Meir is disagreeing. So the Ran brings from the Yerushalmi that in fact Reb Meir would argue in the first case as well. Because you could have a case where nobody says anything about covered, nobody says it's my covered to give you, and the other one says it's my covered not to receive from you. And then Reb Meir would say that nevertheless we consider it as though Reb Meir would say we consider it as though there's the covered involved, or Reb Meir would say that if it's Bistam, if they don't say anything, then each one is saying it's because of my cupboard, and the Chachamim would say, you know what, one of them is actually saying that it's your cupboard. You're trying to accomplish cupboard for yourself by giving this to me, and I don't want that cupboard. So the Yerushalmi says that a mayor, in fact, would disagree in the Reisha, which we quoted before as well. On the other hand, there are other Rishonim who say that maybe they learn differently based on our Gemara over here, and they say that maybe Reb Meir would disagree only in the Sefer. Anyway, um, so again, in the Sefer that we're quoting now, it's Reuven wants to receive these things, and he says, if you don't give me these things, then you are also to have hana from me from now on. And the Chum say that this is considered a neder with a built-in Pesach, because you can say Harenu Kili Iskabalti. So now here's where the Ran brings the detail from a Gemara in Gittin, which talks about this in a completely different context, brings in this Mishnah and explains it, that we're talking about over there specifically where the son, where Reuven is saying, I want this wheat and this wine on behalf of my son. This son is actually living at home, or not living at home, whatever, he's supported by his father Reuven. So therefore, now Reuven himself is the one who was standing to receive it on behalf of his son. Therefore, he's able to say he's Skabalti. It's considered as though I received it. On the other hand, if the son is not living with him anymore, then no. If the son is not being supported by him anymore, rather, then no. Then we wouldn't say that, because how can Reuven forego it? He originally said the neder that he wants, that he's going to ask Shimon from him unless Shimon gives his son. Well, his son is an independent third party, so he can't be the neder now does not have that built-in Pesach anymore, because he can't say that I received it. What do you mean? It's not you who needs to receive it. It's your son. And vice versa. In other words, then the sons, then if the son wants to say Harenu Kile Iskabalti, then that would work. The Ran also brings from the Rashba that this concept of saying Iskabalti only applies when it comes to items that a person might want to receive. Like we're talking about over here, wheat and wine. What about, for example, if it was a matter of a Maisa? What if, for example, Reuven says to Shimon, you will be also in my Nechasim if you don't do such and such? Can Reuven later on say, I consider it as if you did that? So no, he says that for example, let's say, imagine that Reuven says to Shimon, he gives an example, Reuven says to Shimon, if you don't go with me on this and this trip, then you are also from my nechassim. So now, if Shimon decides not to go on the trip in the end, can Reuven say, you know what, I'm willing to consider as though you went with me? He brings from the Ran brings from the Rashba that no, you can't say that. You can't say Harenu Ki'ilu, because the fact is you didn't go. When it comes to wheat and wine or other items like that, then you can say Harenu Kele Iskabalti, because then in effect we can say, listen, you know, I'm willing to consider as though I received it, and then I returned it right back to you. And it's called what we called at the end of Ksubas, we learned about Hafuchi Matrasa, why bother switching around the bags from one shoulder to another? In other words, what would be the point that Reuven should have to receive these items from Shimon, and then he's going to gift them right back to him? So therefore that can be Chal. Ben the Ran says that other Rishonim say that no, even when it comes to a Maisa, you could say that. In any case, the point is that, again, so you have that second part of the Mishnah where you have Rab Meir's opinion, and then you have the Chachamim that say that he can say Ke'ilu Iskabalti. Again, Taima de Omer Harenu Ke'ilu Iskabalti. So only because he's able to say that I consider it as though I received it, only because of that does it seem that we're saying that therefore it's not a valid neder and it has a built-in Pesach, Holav Hochi Neder, implying if it weren't for that, it would be a neder. So let's say, for example, if we follow the Rashba that's brought in the Ran, if it were to be that Reuven was telling Shimon, I insist that you go with me on this trip, and if not, then you're also to have anav from my nechasim, since according to the Rashba, we can't say Harenu Kele Iskabalti, then therefore it would be a valid neder. and if you want to be Matur Neder, you'd have to go to a Chacham and do all the usual things. So now, again, according to the second explanation in the Ran, okay, so we're not talking about that. We're saying it would work even in the case of a Maisa, but the point still remains, in other words, that that if he doesn't say Ke'ilu Iskabalti, if he doesn't say I consider as though I received it, then it would in fact be a valid Neder. Now, again, Mani, who would that be like? Either Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, if that Mishnah is like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, Nidrei Zeruzin happened. Shouldn't it be considered Nidrei Zeruzin just like an Or Mishnah? Just like, again, when Reuven wants to invite Shimon and he says, if you don't come to eat by me, then you will be also, then I will be also in that. If you don't come and eat by me, then you will be also in my nechasim. Shouldn't it be the same thing then? If Reuven is saying to Shimon, I demand that you give me this wheat and this wine, and if not, then you are also in my nechasim. Shouldn't it be the same kind of thing, we would assume? So shouldn't we have to say that later Mishnah is according to the Chachamim? Upligi, in which case that shows that the Chachamim do disagree with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. So in other words, they would disagree with him in the case of On Mishnah as well. They would say that On Mishnah is not in fact an example of Nidrei Zeruzin, but rather a full-fledged Neder. So when you're able to say Ki'ilu Iskabalti, then fine, that's an exception. In the case of On Mishnah, you can't necessarily say Ki'ilu Iskabalti, or maybe he doesn't say Ki'ilu Iskabalti. Shimon doesn't say, I consider it as though I ate by you. So therefore, it would maybe be a Neder. And the answer is loy la'olam Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. No, you could say that that later Mishnah is also like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Umoyde Rabbi Eliezer b'hai d'nidra habi, because Rabbi Eliezer will agree that that neder, that that case later on, when he says, I want you to give me for my son wine and wheat, and if you don't, then you're also from my nechosim, because here it's the flip side of what we said before about being like a dog. Mishum de omale lav malka no, Reuven can say to Shimon, listen, I'm not a king, de mahanina loch va'at le mahanas li. I'm giving you lots of hana, you're not giving me anything, you're a relationship has to be a two-way street. So therefore, the same way, the flip side, in the first case, we said, it was he can say, I'm not a dog, I don't want to keep receiving from you, and I never give you anything, therefore I insist on giving you something, and if not, then I'm gonna make your nechosim also to me, and that way. So then we can say the later Mishnah says that ordinarily that would be considered a neder. However, if Shimon says kvoidi, that's more of a covered for me to not to accept it because I don't want to accept gifts, then we can say we can say it's not a valid neder. And then similarly over here, if Reuven eventually says, Harena Kili is Kabalti, I'm willing to consider as though I receive the wheat and the wine, then fine. But otherwise, it would be a neder. Even Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov might agree to it, because again, unlike in On Mishnah, where it's all a one-way thing, Reuven is saying to Shimon, I want you to come and eat by me. And if not, you are also to have enough my nechosim. So according to the first explanation in the Ran before, the vote was, there's a difference. Who is answering what to himself? In that case, he's saying, you are going to be also from my nechosim. In this case also, fine. He's saying you should be also in my nechosim. But the point is that it's a minor thing. It's a small thing to invite somebody for a meal. It doesn't necessarily involve that there were big favors involved previously, and therefore we can say that it's only. Therefore, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov would hold such a thing as only nidrei zeruzin. But now, when it comes to that thing about the wheat and the wine, which is a much bigger thing, then we would assume. Then we would assume that he really means it as a sincere neder, and the only way to get around it is to say Ki'ilu Iskabalti, as though I'm willing to consider, after all, as though I received the wheat and the wine, and therefore that the neder should not be chal because of that. So we could still say that that later Mishnah goes also according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and therefore that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and the Chachamim are not necessarily arguing. Maybe in On Mishnah, they would both agree that it is considered Nidrei Zeruzin, and the Mishnah later on in the Masechta, they would about the wheat and the wine, they would not consider it Nidrei Zeruzin, because there you're talking about a bi-directional relationship, or because there you're talking about a much bigger gift. Okay. So the Gemara continues. Amalei Makshisha Breder of Chista Rav Ashi. Makshisha, the son of Rav Chista, says to Rav Ashi, Toshma. Let's bring another proof from a Mishnah later on in our parak. This Makshisha, by the way, is an interesting thing. Rashi and Tosfos were to point out in some other places in Shas. Kshisha literally means the elder. So the Gemara in some places mentions that Rav Chista actually had two sons named Mau Yenuka and Mau Kshisha, which means the younger Rebbe and the elder Rebbe. So what does that mean? Does it mean, so apparently what it is they both have the same name and they were distinguished by one being called the younger and one being called the older. Is it that the younger one was called Yenuka and the older one was called Kshisha, or is it actually Tosfos brings up and in one place, the other way around. Mau Yenuka was actually the older one. He's called that because he was born when Rav Chista was much younger, when his father Rav Chista was much younger, therefore he was called Mau Yenuka. Mau Kshisha then would be the younger brother who was born when Rav Chista was already old, and therefore he's called Mau Kshisha. Very confusing. It seems odd that two people with the two brothers would have the same name, but it seems there may have been such a possibility. You actually find in Divrei HaYomim, you find when it lists David HaMelech's sons, you find a couple of them that seem to share the same name. Mephoshet, but when they would say it may be that one of them passed away and he reused the name for another son, But lav davka, it could be that the two of them were living simultaneously and both have the same name. You don't find people doing that nowadays, but you know, there's lots of menhagim that have changed between now and then.
Could be they were brothers from same mother.
Could be brothers from different mothers. You mean? Could be.
Huh? Other instances where two brothers are called the same name.
It's a good question. I'm not sure, but apparently this is how it was, which is why they're distinguished as Ma'yinuka and Ma'kshisha. Anyway, so Ma'kshisha said, the son of Rav Chista says to Rav Ashi, Toshma. Let's bring another proof. Later on in our Mishnah, we learn, now we said at the beginning of the Perek that there are four kinds of Nedarim that we don't need a Sheilas Chacham, because we said they weren't really meant as sincere Nedarim in the first place. One of them was called Nidrei Oinsin, a neder where you couldn't keep it because of an oinus. So what does that mean? An example is Hidirei Chavera Sheyechal Etzloi. Suppose that Reuven made a neder, put Shimon under a neder to come and eat by him. So right now, the Gemara is understanding that Reuven is saying to Shimon, you come and eat by me, or else you are also in my nechassim, which would be similar to our Mishnah. So the Mishnah continues, v'cholahu, later on, if Reuven becomes sick, and therefore he has to call things off, cholahu would be pashtus, that Shimon became sick. So Shimon was sick, and therefore he couldn't make it after all. Or Shimon's son became sick, and therefore again he had to cancel. Or river stopped him, the river was overflowing and he couldn't cross. So those would be examples of Nidrei Oinsin. So we say Shimon is not also to have enough from Reuven and Nechassim, because the neder was a valid neder, but it wasn't meant to include cases of onus like that. So implying holav hochi neder, implying if there was no onus, if Shimon just decided he doesn't want to show up to Reuven's house for the meal, then it would be a valid neder. Now money. So Makshisha says, who would that Mishnah be like? If it would be like the Belezman Yaakov or our Mishnah, then what's the problem? Nidre Zeruzin Havi. Isn't that example of Nidre Zeruzin? Isn't that basically the same case as our Mishnah? In our Mishnah, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov said, Reuven says to Shimon, if you don't come eat by my nechassim, then you are, if you don't come and eat by me, then you are also in my nechassim. And here he's saying the same thing. And yet later on in the Perek it's saying, only because Shimon couldn't make it because of an unavoidable onus, only therefore is it not a neder, implying otherwise it would have been a valid neder. Gilian Ashas actually points out that the Gemara could have answered maybe a different way. We learned at the beginning of the Perek, when we were talking about the people bargaining over the item, that Ran brought up a point over there called Mamid, where we said that when they're first bargaining, if Reuven the seller says, I won't sell for less than four, and Shimon says, I won't buy for less than two, and they compromise on three, that's fine. But if we said, if to begin with, Reuven says, I'm absolutely not selling less than four, I don't care what you say, that's called Mamid. And then we say, if he ends up selling less than that, then in fact, the neder is valid. So why don't we say the same thing over here? Why don't we say that in our Mishnah, we're talking about there's no Mamid, and later on, we're talking about there is Mamid, and that would be different. So Gilian HaShas, Rabbi Akiva Egel, leaves it in Sarichiyu. But anyway, the Gemara is not accepting such a distinction, maybe because then the Mishnah should have specified. Anyway, so Ela Lav Rabbanan. So wouldn't we have to say that later Mishnah in the Perek is according to the Rabbanan? So in our Mishnah, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is saying that such a thing as Nidrei Zeruzin. The Chachamim are saying it's not. It's considered a full-fledged neder. Only if then there's an oinus, then fine. We can say it's not Nidrei Zeruzin. It now becomes Nidrei Oinsin. And therefore the result is that it's not Chal. So then we see that the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. The answer is La'olam Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Not necessarily. We could say even that later Mishnah goes like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, because the reason why he wouldn't call that later one Nidrei Zeruzin or Mi Sabret the Adre Mizamna Lizmina. You're thinking that the one who wants to invite him, Reuven, is putting Shimon under a neder and saying, you, Shimon, will be also to have anav for my nechassim. Loi. No, it could be the other way around. Dezamina Adre Lemizamna. It would be because then if we did like that, then yes, it would be exactly like our Mishnah. We need Zeruzin. It would be that Shimon himself asks Reuven to make such a neder to make him also in his nechassim. That's how the Ran learns, and then why would he do that? So the case is that Reuven says to Shimon, so Shimon starts by asking Reuven, Mizamnas Lilasudasik, are you going to invite me to your party? Amalei Ein, and Reuven says yes. So then Shimon says, Neder ze alecha. In that case, take a neder on yourself that your nechasim will be also to me, or my nechasim will be also to you if you don't do that. And then and Reuven does that. Now, why would he do that? In other words, the Rosh explains that, let's say, for example, that they want to invite Shimon to a different party. Levi also wants to invite Shimon to his party. So Shimon is saying to Reuven, I want you not only to invite me to your party, I want you to back it up with a shvuah. So that way I have a built-in excuse. When Levi comes and invites him to his party, I'd rather go to yours, and that way I can say I can't. I'm under a neder to Reuven that I'm going to go to his party. So unlike in On Mishnah, where Reuven himself initiated the neder, here we're talking about the neder was initiated by Shimon asking Reuven to do that. There are other explanations that, in fact, it's Shimon in the case in the Mishnah later on who made the neder rather than Reuven. Whatever the case, the point is it wasn't initiated by Reuven, unlike in our Mishnah. So sure enough, he makes the neder. V'cholahu, now if Shimon is sick, or shechol abnoi, or his son is sick, or sheikvay nahar, or a river prevents him from coming, harei le nidrei oinus, and then it's a nidrei oinus. So in other words, the answer is that our Mishnah versus that later Mishnah and the Perek are talking about two different cases. Our Mishnah is talking about where Reuven initiated the neder. The Mishnah later on is talking about where Shimon initiated the neder, or even where Shimon himself made the neder, as the case may be. The point is, therefore, so now we can't say that that would be an example of Nidre Zeruzin. Why would Shimon be making a neder to force Reuven to invite him to his party? That would be a real full-fledged neder, except that then there's an oinus, and therefore we say the neder is not chal. So we still don't have to say that the Chachamim disagree. Maybe they would agree with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. In our Mishnah, is a valid neder. In the later Mishnah of Nidre Onsin, we would say it was. So in our Mishnah, we would say rather it wasn't a valid neder. It was only Nidre Zeruzin. In the later Mishnah, it would actually be a valid neder because Shimon made it himself, or Shimon requested of Reuven to make that neder. And it would have been a neder, except for that then there's an oinus later on. And that allows us to cancel the neder. So we still don't have to say that there's machlokas about either of those cases.
You don't have to do it by rabbi, you do it yourself, right?
So that's the point. When we say in the cases where we say the abar nedarim, we're saying you don't need she'ela l'chacham at all. So that's actually been discussed on Chafalaf Amud Beis at the beginning of the parak. We said Rav Asi had said you still need she'ela l'chacham. We said Mefoshim say there maybe midrabanon, and Shmuel disagreed with that and says no. Since the Mishnah says abar nedarim, since the Mishnah had started out abar nedarim ein strichin, the expression is abar nedarim hitiru chacham. There are four nedarim that the chachamim would matter. That implies you don't even need to be matter neder on them. You don't need to go to a chacham at all. When there was nidre zeruzin or nidre oinsin or any of the other ones that we're going to discuss in our parak, you don't need a chacham at all. The halacha is, yeah. Okay. So still no proof whether the chachamim disagree with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. The Gemara says Toshma. Let's bring a proof from a braisa. The Braisa says, yes, Sir Arkein, Omer Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, beyond what Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov said before about where Reuven wants to invite Shimon for a meal. He goes beyond that. He says, Reuven says to Shimon, a koinam on anything that I would have hanah from you, meaning I am asking myself to have hanah from any of your nechasim. If you don't come and be a guest with me, and eat some hot, fresh bread and drink a hot drink with me, the other person, Shimon, is makbid against him and does not want to be a guest by him. Or it could even be that it means that Shimon actually made a reciprocal neder saying, I won't eat by you. Then, af elu nidre zeruzin, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, even that is considered nidre zeruzin. So in other words, even though, in our Mishnah, So in our Mishnah, we had the point was that Reuven was saying, "I want you to eat by me," and he's saying, "If not, then you're also in my nechasim." Fine, we can say that's only nidre zeruzin. A person wouldn't seriously ask the other guy to have hanav from his nechasim just because he turns down his invitation. Here we're saying he wants to ask his own nechasim on the other guy. We have the argument that we said earlier on the Amud that Reuven can say, you know what, I'm not a dog. I don't want to keep on receiving from you and not taking. Therefore, I want to give you. I want to reciprocate to you by giving you this meal, by giving you this hot food. And if not, then I refuse to have any hanah from you in the future. Even so, Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov is saying that it's nidre zeruzin. Which means, by the way, the Ran says, when we said before that we said earlier on the Omud, when we use the argument of lav kalba no, I'm not a dog, and we use that to try to fa'enfil one of the cases involving, we could say that one of the Mishnayos that we quoted before is like Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov. So now the Ran points out, actually, that's not the truth. Now, based on what we see, the answer is that's not the distinction. That, in fact, Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov is saying, even in that case, it's only nidre zeruzin. This argument of lav ana kalba, I'm not a dog, I don't want to have ana without giving you something back, is not really a valid thing. Either way, Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov calls it nidre zeruzin. Then the Ran goes on to say, if the distinction was between a big gift and a small gift, then the point is, we're saying he mentions the specific things that he wants to give the other guy. I want to give you hot food and a hot drink. You would think maybe he's saying so particularly, maybe it's not just nidre zeruzin, maybe it's just a real honest to goodness neder, and still we're saying that not. So Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov calls it nidre zeruzin, v'loy hodu loy chachamim. Now the chachamim do not agree with him on that should be considered nidre zeruzin. They consider that the argument of lava no kalba is a valid argument, and therefore, in other words, that it is a sincere neder. I don't want to keep on receiving hanah from you if you don't want to accept some kind of hanah from me coming to my house and having hot food and a hot drink. So my loy hodu lechachamim. So when we say the chachamim don't agree with Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, what do we mean? Lav da afilu v'kamaisa. Wouldn't that mean the chachamim disagree with Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov even in the first case, namely the case of our Mishnah? Because again, Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov is saying the braisa, yes, it okay. Beyond that, not only do I say in the case of our Mishnah that it's called nidre zeruzin, but even in the case of the braisa, even though there's more of a svara to say lava no kalba, I'm not a dog, nevertheless, Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov still considers that it only nidre zeruzin. So now, if we're saying the chachamim disagree with Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, shouldn't we assume that they mean that means that they disagree with him in both cases? In the case of the Mishnah, where he's saying come eat by me, and if not, then you are also in my nechasim. Or the case of the Braisa, where he says, come eat with me, and if not, I am also in your nechasim. It sounds like the Chacham disagree with Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov on both of them. Ushmamina pligi rabbanon alei. So then that shows that the Chacham disagree with Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov in our Mishnah. So the Gemara says, yes, shmamina. So now we actually have two different girsos over here. The girsa we have in front of us in the Gemara is shmamina, that we have now shown that the Chachamim disagree with Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov. So now the Ran brings there are two different girsos. So one girsa is the way we have it over here, shmamina. The other girsa is that no. The other gear says loy b'basraisa, not necessarily the chachamim may be disagreeing with Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov only in the second case, only in the case of the braisa, but not in the first case. Shmamina literally means let's hear from here. We can understand from this that's how it is. So if we say shmamina, then it means that we can prove from this that yes, the chachamim disagree with Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov on both cases. And then Tosfos Reed explains that according to that girsa, the point would be because otherwise the expression in the braisa should have been something like v'loy hodu lechachamim bazeh, The Chum didn't agree with him on this one, implying that they agree with him on the first one. The fact that it doesn't say that seems to imply that they disagree with him on both cases. However, the other girsa that the Ran brings is loy bebasraisa, that no, that's not necessarily a valid deal. Maybe in fact they disagree with Rav Elazar ben Yaakov only in the second case of the Braisa and not in the first case of the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, my havi Allah, what's the bottom line? Now here, the my havi Allah is again, what that means is going to depend on the two girsos. If we say that we have not proved whether the Chachamim argue with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov on the first one, then the question is, well, what's the bottom line? Can we show that they do argue with him on the first one or not? Or if we say that the girsa was that, no, they argue with him only on the second one, then the question would be, okay, in that second one, who is the halacha like? In the case of the Braisa, where he says, if you don't eat by me, then you are also in my Nechasim, that's the case of the Mishnah. The case of the Braisa is, if you don't eat by me, then I am also in your Nechasim, because I don't want to be like a dog. If we say the Chachamim are disagreeing with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, only in that case, is the Halacha like them in that? Or if we say that they're disagreeing in both cases, can we show that they're arguing in both, or can we show who the Halacha is like? So the Gemara says, Toshma, the Amr Rav Huna, Halacha, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Rav Huna says that the Halacha is like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Now, yes, the Ram first explains that the Gemara knew that Rav Huna is referring even to the first case. So if he says the Halacha is like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, implies that they are in fact, or that Rav Huna knows that they are in fact arguing in both cases, and therefore, that the Halacha would be like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. So in other words, we would realize from that that they are arguing in both. According to the second explanation in the Ran, what we're saying is, no, it's true that they were only arguing on the second case, but we're saying the Halacha is like him in the second case, and when it comes to the first one, it doesn't really matter. Or the Chachamim arguing with him in the Mishnah or not, doesn't matter. Rav Huna is telling us the Halacha is like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov anyway.
Even
though it's a yachid, we say Mishnah Rav Elazar ben Yaakov kavanaki. The Ran also points out, by the way, that there's a strong reason to say why Rav Huna would be referring to the Mishnah and not to the Braisa, because we know the Amoraim were familiar with all the Mishnayos. They were not familiar with all the Braisas. So if he's saying generically halacha for Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, we have every right to assume that he means in what we're familiar with that Rav Elazar ben Yaakov said, namely the Mishnah. So that could show that he means that in fact they do argue in both cases, the Mishnah and the Braisa, whether Reuven is saying you will be also in my Nechasim or I will be also in your Nechasim. And either way, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, either way, the Chum would be disagreeing with Rav Elazar ben Yaakov in both and say that it's not Nigriz or Ruzin, and Rav Huna would be telling us the Halacha is like it. And the Gemara finishes off. Rav Adar Ba'aba says the same thing. The halacha is like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. So it could either mean that they're arguing in both, and that the halacha is like him in both, or it could mean that they're arguing only in the second case, and in the first case, it's not even necessary to say because nobody argues with Rav Elazar ben Yaakov anyway. Okay, so that takes care of Nidrei Zibutin. Now, the second one that we had in the Mishnah at the beginning of the Perek was the second one of the Abba Nedarim that don't need a Sheila L'Chacham is Nidrei Havai. The second one where we said that Hitiru Chachamim, that the Chacham would matter them. And we said, again, according to Rav Asi at the beginning of the Perek, we said maybe Midrabanon, you would need to be matter Nedar on them. And then Shmuel had said that not, and the Halacha is like Shmuel. So Nidrei Havai, the second one we said was Nedarim of Havai, which Havai means guzma, means exaggerating. Or we said at the beginning of the parak, the Ran brought from Targum that Havai can mean empty Nedarim. So examples of that. Omar, koinam, suppose a person says a koinam, a loshen of a neder, im loira isi baderach hazeh ka'ola mitzrayim. If I did not see on this road a number of people as large as the number of people who left Mitzrayim, 600,000. So even if there weren't literally 600,000 people over there, the neder is not chal, because he just meant to say he was exaggerating. He meant that there were a lot of people there, even though it wasn't anywhere near Ka'ula Mitzrayim. Or another example, im loira isi nachash kekoras beis habad. Another example would be if he says, if I didn't see a snake that was like the beam of an olive press. Now, later on, we're going to learn tomorrow, Bez Hashem, well, on Motzei Shabbos, to be exact, we'll learn And what exactly the point of comparison is? It doesn't mean the size. The Gemara is going to point out there are in fact snakes out there that are as large as the beam of an olive press. It means that the Gemara is going to call it toruf, and we're going to have several different explanations of the Rishonim what toruf means exactly. So we'll discuss it tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. But the point is that so the Ran gives two possibilities. One, a beam of an olive press. The beam of an olive press is what you use to crush the olives. You put the olives into a vat and then you crush them using a heavy beam. So that beam would of course be fairly large and heavy. And then we're gonna see later on when we talk about the meaning of toruf that it had certain characteristics to them, which now this person is comparing the snake to. So the Gemara is gonna explain it doesn't mean the size. It's not a neder havai to say that because in fact there are snakes that large. So rather, the Gemara is going to explain that there's something else in which he's comparing as far as the shape or as far as there are grooves in it, whatever. We'll talk about tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, the details of what toruf means. In any case, the point is that, so the Ran gives two explanations. One is that the Mishnah is telling us two different cases because they're actually two different things. The Olam Mitzrayim is an example of Guzma. He did see a large number of people. It wasn't anywhere near 600,000, but he's exaggerating and says that it was. The second case, the Ran says, given that later on the Gemara is going to establish that there's no such thing as a snake that is like a Kodas Beis Habad in the sense that we're going to talk about there, then therefore it's not just an exaggerated Shavua, it's not a neder, it's a useless neder. He's making a neder about something that doesn't actually exist. So the Mishnah would be telling us either of those are examples of Nidrei Havai. Then the Ran goes on to say, maybe not actually. And the Ran points out the reason why these are not valid nedarim, the reason why, let's say, the fruit or whatever it is that he said in the neder doesn't become aser, because obviously he didn't really mean to aser it to himself, otherwise he would have said it without any condition. The fact that he says an exaggerated condition, or the fact that he says a lying condition, then he says actually no. So there's two different things. When he sees the people, it would have to at least be that he did see a large crowd of people. Then we could say that he exaggerated and considered them Ka'ula Mitzrayim. On the other hand, with the Nachash, it wouldn't have to even be that he saw such a snake at all, because such a snake doesn't exist. So therefore, there's nothing that he could have exaggerated to say that these payers should be also if I didn't see such a snake. We just consider it he's just saying useless words, in other words. Then the Ran goes on to say that maybe not, actually, maybe even with the snake, we could say that it's a type of guzma as well. Anyway, those are examples of Nidrei Havai. So the Gemara said, now, the next piece of Gemara from here until the end over here, we actually have two different girsos among the Rishonim, what's going on over here. So first, I guess we'll do the girsa as we have it in front of us in the Gemara, but the Ran has a completely different girsa. So if it starts out, Tona Nidrei Havai Mutorin, Shvuas Havai Asurin. Now, we're saying in our Mishnah that a neder of Havai is mutter, and it's not considered a valid neder. However, a shvua of Havai, a useless shvua or an exaggerated shvua, would be osur. Because a shvua, after all, is a... So there, this is the Rosh has the skirsa, for example. So we'll explain according to the Rosh to start with. So a shvua is more chomer. After all, we learned before by shvua, it says lo yinaka Hashem. Sometimes even a shvua involves Hashem's name. So shvua havai would be osur. So the item would be osur. So the Gemara asks, heichi domi shvua havai. Well, we have to ask, what exactly is a shvua havai? Are we talking about where instead of like this in the Mishnah, he said konam im loyra isi baderach hazeh. Instead, he says shvua im loyra isi baderach hazeh. He says a shvua if I didn't see on this road. Well, then how is that a shvua? Midam kamar. Did he say anything? He says a shvua that I didn't see such and such. Well, in fact, he didn't see such and such. So what's the problem? That's not a shvua sabai. He's actually swearing truthfully. He's saying, I swear that I did not see on this road Ka'ula Mitzrayim. Well, he didn't see on this road Ka'ula Mitzrayim. So what's the problem? It's a valid, correct shvua. He's saying if a shvua that I did not see such and such. Well, he didn't see such and such, so it's a true shvua. You can't call it shvua savai. Nothing happens. That's a question. So what do we mean asurin? Omer Abaya. So Abaya says the Omer shvua shereis. So Abaya says what it means is that he says a shvua that I did see, Ka'ula Mitzrayim. Well, then he's over on a shvua shrub. Because the fact is, he didn't see 600,000 people. Well, omale rova in kain lomali the meimar v'oid. In that case, then omlomali the meimar. First of all, in that case, then why does the mission need? Then why would we even need to say that? Why would we even need a braisa to tell us that such a thing is osir? Of course, we know you're not allowed to swear a false shvur. After all, you don't have a heter to for shvuas because this is exaggerations. Nedarim, fine. Nedarim are not as serious as shvuas, so a person can make a neder with an exaggeration. But a shvuah, we know a person is taka not allowed to make a shvuah that is a shvuas shav, that's a false shvuah. So if he says a shvuah that I saw 600,000 people and he did not, then yeah, he's over on shvuas shav. But then there's no chiddush in the braisa telling us that. And furthermore, Rava says there's another reason you can't say that's what the Braisa means. Dumya de neder katani. After all, it has to be similar to a neder. If he just says a shvua that I saw this number of people, then yes, it's a shvua shav, but it's not similar to a neder. He's not answering anything. So we can say he's over on a shvua shav, but after all, if we're contrasting it with a neder, we're saying a neder havai is mutter, a shvua havai is osir, then it has to be that there's a similarity between them. In both cases, he's saying, along with it, something that should be also to him. In our Mishnah, he said, these peiros should be koinam to me if I didn't see such and such. And in the Braisa, then it sounds like he'd also have to be saying, a shvur, that such and such should be also if I saw Ka'ul Mitzrayim, if I didn't see Ka'ul Mitzrayim. So what's going on? Ella Omar Rava, so that's what Rava says. But Omer, we have to be talking about, but the person says, you also peiros ha'olam alai b'shvur, that the peiros of the whole world should be also to meet with a shvur, which is a little loose of a way of saying it. I mean, shvur is actually, he'd really be saying, I am also in all the peiros of the world, because we said before, shvur is on the person. Im loira, isi badera chazak ka'ol mitzrayim, if I did not see ka'ol mitzrayim on this road. So that would be, in other words, so the Mishnah is telling us that if he says, a koinam, these peiros are also to me, if I did not see ka'ol mitzrayim, then we say the peiros aren't also to him, because it's only an exaggeration. It's nidre habai. But the Braisa would be telling us, says Rava, that if you did the same thing with a shvua, if you say a shvua that I will be also in all the peiros of the world, if I did not see Ka'ul Mitzrayim, well, since he did not in fact see Ka'ul Mitzrayim, then yes, those are going to be also to him. That's what the Braisa means, that shvuas havai are also. So that's all.
Which means he'll be also
to pay. So it means that he'll be also to have those peiros unless he's mad to the shvua. So that's all.
He specifies
a number, right. Now that's all according to the Rosh's Girsa. Now the Ran has a completely different Girsa, which is his Girsa starts off that Tana, we learn in a Braisa, Kishem Shinidre Havai Mutorin, Kach Shvos Havai Mutoris. The opposite of the first Girsa. The first Girsa was we were contrasting and saying Nidorim, Nidre Havaya Mutter, Shvos Havaya Osir. According to the Ran's Girsa, we're saying both of them are in fact Mutter. A Shvos Havai would also be Mutter. So now we have to ask, Hei Chidomi, what's the scenario? What is the scenario? If he says a shvur that I did not see on this road, again, like in the first Girsi, you would say, Midan Kama. Did he say anything? On the contrary, what he said was a useless shvur, was a false shvur. Yotz a shvur la sheker. So it means, in other words, that it's a shvur. It's not really sheker. The Ran says it's a loshen that has no mashmos. It has no meaning, because he's saying a shvur that I did not see the number of people who left Mitzrayim. Well, he didn't see the number of people who left Mitzrayim. It is a true shvur, but it's trivially true. It's not really a shvur that counts for anything, because of course the fact is he didn't see that many people. So why would the Braisa need to be telling us that it's not chal? There's nothing for it to be chal on. Amar Abaya, so now in the Ram's Girsa, Abaya says, the Amar Shvur Shara Isi, we're talking about, he says a Shvur that I did see Ka'ol Mitzrayim. So now we're saying not only with Nedarim do we consider that people exaggerate, even with Shvurs, even though Shvurs are much more stringent, much more severe, nevertheless, we still say that it's only a Shvurs Havai and it's not a problem. Now, on the other hand, though, the point would be, the second example of the Mishnah, where he says about a snake that's like a beam of an olive press used to crush the olives in an olive press, that would be different, because that kind of thing, again, the Ran drew a distinction before that the Olam Mitzrayim is an exaggeration, but the Nochash Kekoras Beis Abad is a flat out lie, because no such snakes exist. So then we can't say that. Then we can't say that he's just exaggerating. Then we would say it is a real false shvur. If he says a shvua that I saw a snake kora space abad, then that would be considered a false shvua, and he'd be getting malchus for that. But then, Rava says in Cain, So if the Braisa is saying that he made a shvua that he saw the number of people kiyotzim mitzrayim, of course we know that people exaggerate like that. Lomali lamema. Why do we need to say it? So in the first girsa, we were saying, why do we say it? Because we're saying it's definitely a false shvua, no question about that. And the Braisa doesn't need to tell us that false shvuas are also. In the Ran's girsa, we're saying the other way around. Since his girsa is shvuas habayim mutaris, fakir, we know that people exaggerate. People will exaggerate even when it comes to shvuas. So how can the Braisa be telling us that? How can the Braisa be telling us that? Or why is the Braisa telling us that shvuas habayim mutar? Shouldn't it be obvious that it's mutar? Because it's very clear that it's just an exaggeration. And furthermore, Jumia the Neder Katani. Furthermore, it's like a neder. The Braisa is comparing it to a neder. So we have to say, just like with a neder, he's saying on the face of it that something is also to him, and we're still saying it's mutter because it's only a guzma. The same way would have to be in the Braisa. If it's just that he's saying a shvur that I saw Ka'ula Mitzrayim and not attaching that to anything, then there's nothing for us to talk about, whether it's also or mutter. So rather, Rava says, we are talking about a shvur that he says, that if he's saying a shvur that I didn't see, so we don't have to change the wording of our Mishnah, but the same way. So here's another point that the Ran has over here in the Gemara, adding it in. Amr mi lav Amr of Amram Amr Rav. After all, didn't Rav Amram say in the name of Rav? That we're going to have an example later on in the parak. We're going to talk about another example of Nidre Oinsin. We talk about an Amr Aleph where you have an onus because you can't fulfill the neder. Now you have a different kind of Nidre Oinsin, namely where the person is being forced to swear a neder by tax collectors or something, and if he doesn't, and he has to back it up with a neder. So he says, Yeostru Peris Olam Alayim Enam Shabesam. He's saying that a neder, all the payers in the world should be also to me. If this produce that you see over here that you want to take does not already belong to the king. So that Mishnah later on is talking about a shvua. So Hochinami, so Rava says the same thing, but Omer, or Mishnah, or Braisa rather, is talking about, but Omer, your Osru, Peres, or Olam, Alai, B'Shvua. He's saying, I'm making a shvua that all fruit in the world should be also to me. If I did not see Ka'olam Mitzrayim on this road. So now the point is, in other words, the Braisa is saying, now if he had sworn, so if he had sworn that he saw Nochash Kakodas Beis Abad, then it would be a false shvur. And if he had sworn that he saw Ka'olam Mitzrayim, it would be a useless shvur, and there's no chiddush, that there's no problem with that. But the point is, even here he adds to it that Paris will be also to me. Nevertheless, it's still not a real shvur. So he's not over on shvuas shav. Because again, he wouldn't have said a t'nai. That's not true if he had meant that. So the same way as later on, he's saying a shvur only in order to get the tax collector off his back. The same way over here, he's saying a shvur of something which is not really actually true, something which is only exaggerated, or something which maybe is not true at all. And we say then that, and we're saying that nevertheless, such a thing as mutter, the fruit does not in fact become also to him. It doesn't mean mutter as in allowed to make such a shvur, but mutter in the sense that the fruit does not in fact become also to him. We don't say that. We don't say, well, you asked food on you because he attached it to a condition which is either exaggerated or non-existent. So that's according to the Ran's Girsa.
So it doesn't matter if it's a shvur or if it's
so. Now, according to the Ran's Girsa, it doesn't matter shvur or neder. Either way, the same way as nidre havai on mutter, so a shvur savai. Meaning mutter, not in the sense that you're allowed to do it, but mutter in the sense the object does not become also. And then again, according to the Rosh's Girsa, which was the first Girsa that we said, was the other way around. Shavuos are more stringent than Nedarim, and therefore, in such a case, even though with Nedarim, we would say it's only Nidre Havai, and the fruit doesn't become Osir, but in the case of a Shavuos, we would in fact say that it becomes Osir. And we would give him Malchus if he ate the fruit, just like if he's already run any Nedar, right? So we'll continue that discussion tomorrow, Bez Hashem, and discuss, why don't we say, we're going to discuss tomorrow, Bez Hashem, can a person claim that he has his own definitions of words, and therefore that his neder or shvur was based on that personal definition that he gave, rather than an objective definition that we would all agree to. So we're going to discuss that. So then we could say maybe a reason that he's potter. Let's say, for example, we could argue, and the Gemara is going to start off, for example, we're saying in our Mishnah that he says that I saw or I didn't see Ka'ola Mitzrayim, and it's impossible to see 600,000 people. But what if, for example, the Gemara is going to talk about, let's say he saw a huge number of ants, and he's calling them, he's saying that I saw Ka'ola Mitzrayim, I saw 600,000 ants. Would that work? Could we say that maybe we could would maybe then in other words there's truth to what he's saying, so we're going to discuss that in the Gemara tomorrow, Baruch Hashem. That's the point. That's why the Mishnah is calling it Nidre Havai. It's the point that because you can't see 600,000 people at one time, even if there were 600,000 people over there, you're not going to see them all at one time. Therefore, that's an example of Nidre Havai. And now again, you have the right, you're not going to go and count exactly, and you can't really see that many people together anyhow. Right, so that's why we're calling it Nidre Havai. So now the question is, according to the different Girsois, so the Rosh versus the Ran over here, are we saying the same thing would be also as far as Shavuos, or would we say that in the case of, even if he made a Shavua with such a thing, it would also be Mutter? The object, the fruit, or whatever would be Mutter, yeah.
Why do we have to assume that Kareelim and Shime Dafka means maybe it means everyone has a peckle on his hand?
So that we're going to include in the Gemara tomorrow. Do we say that we go according to the objective definition, meaning when people hear Ka'ola Mitzrayim, the general assumption is that it means the number of people, or can he claim, like you're saying, that maybe it means the way they're walking, like they're walking with peklach on their shoulders? That's going to be included. We're going to, when we discuss on Matzah Shabbos, Bez Hashem, the next piece of Gemara, we'll include that point as well, Bez Hashem.